Well, it's certainly wintertime and it's Christmas. I can tell there's enough plaid in here to clothe the whole family of loggers. I like plaid. Looks good on you. It's good to see everyone this morning. I'll ask you to open your Bible up to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I know your Bible opened itself to 2 Samuel, about the midpoint, but we're going to deviate from our systematic covering of the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to have a Christmas time message, and I've titled the message, Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels We Have Heard on High. And I want to begin this message by looking in chapter 2 and verse 8. And I want us to cover this really famous passage. There's been a lot of Christmas carols written about this particular passage of Scripture, where the angels appeared to the shepherds. And I want us, we sang about it just a few minutes ago. I want us to look at this passage, and then we'll look at some other passages. And as we read this, I want you to be thinking, have you heard the angels on high? I don't mean were you there, but are you familiar with this story? Do you believe it? Do you know it? And can you say that it is joy to you? Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and I'll read through verse 20. And there were in the same country shepherds aiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, for the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told as it was told unto them. Now, as I look at the text, I see three distinct things in this text about the angels and their message to these shepherds. The first thing that I want to cover is found in verses 8 through 11, and let's look at the statement that these angels made. I'll read that passage again. It said, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The same country doesn't mean in Israel. It means in the same area. There were just outside of Bethlehem flocks of sheep. Bethlehem, the region there, is a good region for growing sheep. David, up until this point, David has been the most famous person to be born in Bethlehem, and he was a shepherd. And so these shepherds are still doing sheep things, staying with their flocks at night in the field. Verse 9, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. When people see angels, it scares them to death. Angels are terrifying, and they're terrifying because they're not polluted by sin. You and I are polluted by sin. Angels are sinless beings. Well, two-thirds of them are. One-third of them have sinned against a holy God and followed Lucifer, the star of the morning, and they are demons. We no longer call them angels, we call them demons. But when an angel from God shows up, most of the time in Scripture, people pass out, they're afraid, they're in shock, John in the book of Revelation even fell down and began to worship them when he got good news. And the angel said, no, 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 don't worship me. I'm just the messenger. And so these shepherds are so afraid. They're scared to death at this angel that has appeared to them in the middle of the night. Let's look at what he says, the statement. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The message, the statement that the angels made, he gave it to the shepherd, but the message was for all people. Now, when it says all people, it literally means all people. And Jews were not the only people that were going to get good news and great joy out of this arrival that the angel is announcing. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, when I look at verse 11, I see clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Now, this may not seem like much to you, but we're living in a day where we need to spend a little time here and finalize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the reason we need to cover this is because there is a growing number of Baptists who do not believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't believe that Jesus is Lord. It's that they believe that you can be saved without you admitting that Jesus is Lord. They believe you can get saved and later on decide to make Jesus the Lord of your life at a distant point. And this is why they teach that people can pray a simple sinner's prayer and walk away and be saved and never give any evidence of it, because they admitted that they were a sinner and they needed a Savior, but they never accepted Jesus as their Lord. Friend, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you never accepted Jesus Christ. The initial announcement that Jesus Christ was born announced Him as the Lord. If He is not the Lord of your life, you're not a Christian. Period. Not a Christian, period. So let's deal with what the angel says. The angel says this is good news, this is great joy, this is for all people, this is what everybody on the earth needs. It's not what everybody on the earth wants. You know the difference between a need and a want? Sometimes we struggle with our kids when they're young. They only want to eat certain foods, but we know in order to be healthy, they've got to eat other foods. I know some parents that just feed their kids chicken strips all the time. It's a wonder their kids ain't growing feathers and crowing of a morning. You need more than chicken strips to grow up big and strong. If we were just giving our kids what they wanted, it would be Little Debbie's and donuts. The world wants a Savior. It just doesn't want this one. The world needs a Savior, and the only Savior available is this one. The entire world, not just the people of the world, the whole creation, Paul says in Romans, groans for its redemption. It wants this Prince of Peace to come back to the earth and put the turmoil of the earth at peace. This turmoil oil entered the earth the day that Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin entered their hearts, and the whole world is under the curse of sin. Jesus Christ is mentioned here as the Prince of Peace. He came to make peace between God and man. That is the statement that the angels are making. Now, when He comes back, He's coming back with a sword. He's not coming back to offer peace. He's coming back to offer justice. He's coming back in the wrath of God. He's coming back to have His enemies made His footstool. He's coming back to rule and reign on the earth. But He was no less Lord on the day He was born than He will be when He comes back with the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords across His body. This statement here identifies that Jesus Christ came, and it's good news, which is where we get the word gospel. It literally means good news. And the good news is not just for the Bible Belt. It's not just for Jews. It's not just for Western America. It's not just for capitalism. It's not just for Republicans. It's for everybody. Whether they want it or not, the good news is this. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he arrived on this date. What date? December 25th? I don't know. And I don't care. He came. Point number one, the statement is this. He is here. Now, under he is here, they make the statement. The second thing I notice in this text, there is a sign given. There's proof that the statement is true. Look at what he says in verses 12 through 16. The angel is still talking. And this shall be a sign unto you. You want to know where I get my points? Right out of the text. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, you could find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes all over our city today. You know why? People have nativity scenes out with a little baby wrapped up in a towel. I'll guarantee you there's some churches, even under this COVID pandemic, that are going to have a Christmas play today, and they're going to have a baby wrapped in a towel. This is swaddling clothes. And they're going to lay him in a little wood manger with some straw. And you're going to see this sitting on top of the hearth above someone's fireplace. You used to see it down near the courthouse. You'll see this. But folks, before Christmas was a holiday, the odds of somebody wrapping their baby up and putting them out there with the livestock in a place where a feed trough would be unheard of. Outside of Christmas, I would venture to say none of you wrapped your children up in rags and laid them in the feed trough. That newborn baby, Mom, I know how you held it, especially your first one. You scared to death you was going to drop it. Then you learn that you could really drop them a lot and they'd survive and come back from that. But the last thing you'd do, Mom, with your firstborn is go out there and lay them in a feed trough where cattle eat. You wouldn't even take that kid and walk across a feedlot where cattle are moving around. The shocking sign, which is not shocking to us because we're after the fact looking back, the shocking sign to the shepherds is we're going to go into Bethlehem and we're going to walk around looking at feedlots where livestock are kept, and in a feed trough we're going to find a baby wrapped up in rags. Now what's the odds of that? Prior to the celebration of Christmas, slim to none. That was the sign. And suddenly, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we've got this whole angel band that comes in and sings and echoes this. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. So a sign was given to them. You're going to find a baby in Bethlehem sleeping in a stockyard in a feed trough. And they said, let's go see if this is real. This is how you can verify and validate the message that you've been given. Is it true? Anytime someone comes to you and gives you a message and it's not true and they claim it from God, you can never believe that person again. God is 100% accurate on all of his messages, and all of his prophets are 100% accurate. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a babe lying in a manger. The sign that they would see was right there. Now the angel's giving them not necessarily a future prophecy, but a current predicament. Come and look. He's right here. The angel said, he is here and you can find him and you can validate and authenticate my message by going and laying your own eyes on him. So they go and they lay their eyes on him, and they went home and they didn't tell anybody and they kept it a secret the rest of their lives, and it went to their grave with them. They made a commitment to Jesus Christ, but they never told anybody, and nobody knew anything about it. No. With the statement and the sign, thirdly comes the spread. I want you to notice what the shepherds did once they saw that the angel's message was true. Hey, listen to me. If you come up to me after church and say, "Preacher, I was out hunting, coon hunting last night. I was all by myself in the dark, and the woods lit up, and this glowing being came down in front of me, and he told me a bunch of stuff." You know what I'm going to say? You're a nut. You're a nut. But if this glowing being tells you stuff, and a whole host of glowing beings come along behind it, and they tell you that God, who had promised to send his son into the world, had sent his son, and you go and validate and find all that, and the story adds up, and it's provable, so provable, that people from the east, not just people that listen to Coast AM and UFOs unexplained and unsolved mysteries, but wise men from the east travel over here because they know it's true as well. And kings try to stomp out this newborn king. It's so true that there is no dispute. This king was really born. That validates the claim of the angels that they were indeed angels. If all of that's true, then you're going to tell people about it. When people talk about Jesus Christ, they say, "Well, you can't believe that." No, the people that saw him told everybody else about him and died because they believed he was real. When we look at the spread of these shepherds in verses 17 through 20, it becomes very clear that what they saw was indeed real, and they broadcast it far and wide. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherds. They saw it, they told everybody, and everybody was like, "I don't know if I believe that or not." Well, nothing's changed, has it? Angels, we have heard on high. Brother Harold, you've never heard an angel. No, I have not. But I'm telling the same message, and you know what everybody's saying? "I don't know if I believe in that Jesus. I don't know if I believe in that Christianity. I don't know if I believe in all that mess." The people wondered. They didn't take it. They didn't believe it. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers go, "Well, shepherds were bad, rotten people. They were known to be crooked and dishonest." Oh, really? I thought King David was a shepherd and he was a man after God's own heart. The Bible's literally filled with shepherds who are good people, and Jesus Christ calls himself one. I suggest you quit painting the shepherds out to be the hell's angels of the Old Testament and refer to them for who they really are. Good, honest, hardworking people that work the night shift. The message wasn't disbelieved because of the bad reputation of shepherds. It was disbelieved because it came from God, and the world don't want a message from God. The world wants to be left alone. Go read John's account of Jesus coming into the world. John doesn't tell us in his gospel about this manger in Bethlehem. John simply tells us the light came into the world and the world comprehended it not because its deeds were evil. The light shone upon the darkness, but the darkness didn't like it because it loved, hated the light and loved the dark. The message of the shepherds was not wondered and doubted upon because it was told by shepherds. It was wondered and doubted upon because it was told of God. But those of us who believe in God do what Mary did. Look what Mary said. Verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The difference between everybody else and Mary is that Mary knows who this child is. Mary, did you know? Yep. She had a visitation by an angel as well. Her husband, he didn't believe. He was going to divorce her quietly. Oh, he got a little knock on the door from an angel. Joseph, this woman you're espoused to is pregnant from God. Marry her like you've promised. She's been faithful. Oh, Okay. Joseph doesn't have a problem with the shepherd's report. Mary doesn't have a problem with the shepherd's report. The world has a problem with the shepherd's report. But the shepherds didn't stop reporting because the world didn't believe them. It spread anyways. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When we look at this text, angels we have heard on high. When the angels, a multitude of them, came and backed up the testimony of the one angel that talked, there was a sign given to them. They went and verified the sign. And when they saw the sign, they knew for certain that these things were of God, and they spread that message abroad. When we say and make the statement, angels we have heard on high, here's what needs to be determined. Do we really believe what the angels have said? Have we verified the signs that were given? Number three, have we spread the message that we believe? It's what the shepherds did. Now, there's the Christmas portion of my message. You know what my problem is with every Christmas message? It just talks about the birth of the Savior. He arrived. Okay, the real work was done about 33 years later. Christians, I love Christmas. I even like Santa Claus. I'm not against Christmas trees. I cut one down this week. I've been called worse than what you're thinking of me right now for confessing that I'm not opposed to Santa Claus and a Christmas tree. So you're not hurting my feelings. But the real joy, the real Christmas, the real Christian holiday, it's not the Christmas. It's Easter. It's Easter. Now I wonder if the real Christian holiday, which is Easter, not the Easter bunny. I'm not a fan of the Easter bunny. I like Cadbury eggs, but I'm not a fan of anything else of Easter fame. But I wonder if any angels had anything to do on resurrection morning by declaring a message, offering a sign. I wonder if we can see any spread of information given by angels on Easter morning like we saw on Christmas morning. If you'll turn in your Bible over to the book of Matthew in chapter 28, I want us to take the same theme of this text, angels we have heard on high. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. I want to give you the context, and then I want to look at the statement, the sign, and the spread of what these angels, plural, had to say. Verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1, Matthew, in the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Now, as I look at the text, I want to focus in verses 5 through 8. I read verses 1 through 4 to give you the context. And I want you to take from that in verse 4 that when the angel showed up, these Roman soldiers, these men who were trained for battle, These men who were acquainted with brutality, when they looked upon the holy beings of angels, they quaked and were as dead men. You know what that means in the Harold Smith paraphrase version? They passed out. They passed out. So what was the statement that the angel made? Look at verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye." Would appear to me from that phrase, the women was just about as scared as the men. The only reason they didn't pass out is because these women were believers. Those Roman soldiers were not. "Fear not ye, for I know whom you seek, Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now, this angel statement is very, very simple. He says, "I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus." Here's the second point of my message. He's gone. The first angels, the multitude, show up in Luke chapter 2 and say, "He is here." The next multitude of angels show up and say, "He is gone." And the message is, Jesus is not in the tomb. And then he tells them why. "For he is risen as he said." This was not a shocker to God. This was not a shocker to the angels. This was a shocker to people who did not understand the message and role of God. Now, these people knew Jesus Christ. They loved Jesus Christ. They served Jesus Christ. They didn't run away when Jesus Christ was going through his ministry. These are the small group of people that stuck by Jesus all the way through. And even though I do believe they had faith, a God-given faith, I believe that faith was in its infancy and they didn't fully understand what Jesus was going to be doing. I'm not of the opinion that the apostles got saved on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost flew over their heads and gave them tongues of fire and they went out and prophesied. I'm of the opinion that Peter was saved in Matthew chapter 16 when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus affirmed, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So that is Peter's confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus says, "God gave you that message." Folks, that's how salvation works. It doesn't come from flesh and blood. Oh, we preach the gospel. We tell you who Christ is. But the only way any of you are going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and receive it into your heart is for God to put it into your heart. It doesn't come from crafty speech. It doesn't come from clever sermons. It doesn't come from great orators. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit put this message that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in Peter's heart way back in Matthew chapter 16. I got saved a long time ago too. But I still don't fully understand everything Jesus is doing and I got the end of the book. So why are you beating up Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mom for not fully understanding everything back then before it got written down? The statement is, he's gone. What's the sign, preacher? Last part of verse 6. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Here's proof that he's not here. The grave's empty. There's your Easter message. He's not here. The grave's empty. Now, some of these women leave right here. They don't go inside. One of those ladies is probably Mary Magdalene. She takes off running. Mary, Jesus' mom, and a couple of the other ladies, we know there are at least three mentioned by name. There's Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, that's also the mother of Jesus, and there's Salome, they're all there. Some of these ladies go inside and see where the Lord lay, and they're just standing there, kind of awestruck, kind of like the shepherds when the angels appeared to them. They're kind of awestruck. They've heard the statement, they've seen the sign, and they're just kind of looking like, wow. And while they're in this tomb, looking at these grave clothes all laid out nice and neat and rolled up, two men appear beside them. And they tell them, again, the same thing the angel sitting on the rock that was rolled away said. He's not here. Go and tell his disciples. So there's an angel on the rock. There's two more men inside there that reaffirm, hey, look, what you're seeing, this is true. Now, go and tell his disciples. So let's look at the spread, verse 7 and 8. They get the statement from the angel. They see the sign from the angel that he's indeed not there. Verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel tells them where to go. The angel tells them what to do. The angel says, I've discharged my commission. I was created for the purpose of announcing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I did it. Verse 8, and they went home and didn't tell anybody and kept it a secret the rest of their life. Nobody ever knew what they saw that day. Does your Bible read that way? Is your verse 8 different than mine? You see, because I have people all the time that tell me they believe in Jesus Christ, but you wouldn't know it unless you pinned them down and pried it out of them. I encounter people all the time that tell me they believe that Jesus really rose from the grave, but you wouldn't know it unless you ask them a bunch of specific questions and kind of guided them through the answers. No. Verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You know, I got to thinking about that. These were not young women. This was Jesus' mother. She didn't just have Jesus 33 years ago. She had other boys. This is an older woman, probably a grandmother. And she's running from a cemetery at a dead run, with great news, with fear, for she's seen angels, and Jesus is gone, and great joy. And they went and found the disciples. Mary Magdalene, we're told, found them first. That's why I don't believe Mary went in the tomb. That's why I believe she took off running when she saw the first one. That's why I believe she went back to the tomb and didn't fully understand, because she never went in and looked. And then she thinks she bumps into the gardener. Then she realizes it's Jesus. These ladies who went in and looked on their run back, Jesus stops them. You're only going to encounter Jesus when you do what Jesus tells you to do. Otherwise, you're going to encounter Jesus, but you're going to encounter him in the corrective form and not in the encouragement form. Angels, we have heard on high. We heard he is here. The message was spread abroad by those who heard that message. We heard, secondly, he is gone. And that message was spread abroad, not just in verses 7 and 8. That message spread throughout the entire city. By sundown, two men are walking to Emmaus, a town nearby Jerusalem. And they're walking and talking. You know what they're talking about? This Jesus who was crucified and is now missing and no longer there. And Jesus is walking with them. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, where in the world have you been? Everybody knows what we're talking about. How in the world did everybody know what was going on if news didn't break out till daylight and they didn't have Facebook and they didn't have Twitter and they didn't have Instagram? They didn't even have a crank phone call to call BR549 and tell them what happened. This all spread by word of mouth that began with a handful of old women. I ask you the question today. Do you think these old women did their job? Angels, we have heard on high. The book of Luke, we heard that he was here. The book of Matthew, we heard that he was gone. The book of Acts, we hear that he is coming again. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 1. Let's see another instance where plurality of angels show up with a message. As you turn to the book of Acts, I want you to find chapter 1, and I'll read verses 4 through 12. Then I'll focus my attention on verses 10, 11, and 12. Let's get the context here. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And they returned, and then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now, if you look at verses 10 and 11, we get the statement from the angels. There's two men that appear to them. It says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, here's what we don't know. How long did they stand there looking up? Jesus ascended into heaven. This is what is referred to as his ascension. So he's talking to them. He's giving them the Great Commission in verse 8 of chapter 1 there. He says, ye shall receive power, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then he gives them this threefold ministry in Jerusalem, or fourfold, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the whole world. If you read the book of Acts, that's exactly how it happened. Okay? He says, you're going to do all this. He didn't say you might do this. He said, if this lines up with your own free will, you guys carry this out. If y'all find time to do this in between the football games, go ahead and do this. He doesn't say if you don't have any other hobbies and nothing appeals to you but Christianity, go find time to work this in. No, he says this is what you're going to do. And then he gets done talking and he just starts going up in the sky. And they're all just watching him and he's leaving. And he goes up and clouds cover him. And they're just looking at him. And looking, you ever watch one of those videos and it says, wait for it? I get the impression these men of Galilee are like, wait, he's coming back. He's not really, he's done this before. 3 days he came back, he's not leaving. How long did they look? We don't know. Maybe as soon as the clouds rode, all right, show's over, everybody out of here. Don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. No, we don't know. But I get the impression, if these two angels hadn't showed up, they'd have spent a lot of time there on the Mount of Olives looking up in the sky, trying to figure out when he's coming back. Because he didn't answer their question. When are you going to start your kingdom? That's none of your business. Here's what your business is. Go be witnesses unto me. Bye. Two men. Stood by, here's what they said, verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Here's the statement that they make. Jesus is coming again. Angels we have heard on high. Have you heard that Jesus is coming again? Is this something that's been covered in church recently? If it hasn't been covered, you're probably in the wrong church. Do you realize all of the error and heresy that we could be rid of if we just affirmed the statement that Jesus was coming back just like you saw him go? The statement says he's coming back. Do you know how many people who claim to be Christians who don't believe he's coming back? That's just spiritually speaking. He's not physically coming back. Do you know how many people say he's already came? Even in the apostles' day, there were people already teaching that Jesus had already came back. Do you know how many people are teaching today that some other Jesus is here now? Do you know in other countries and even here in America, there are people who claim to be the reincarnate Jesus Christ? Especially in South America, there are several people who claim to be the Son of God who's returned to the earth, and they've got large followings. This shouldn't shock you. John said in the last days the Antichrist shall come. Even now the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Jesus said in the last days many shall claim. There will be many Antichrists, many impersonators of Christ. Do you realize if we just took the statement of the angels, how that would change the doctrinal landscape of the church? So what's the sign, preacher, that the Lord's coming back? It's that little phrase, in like manner. How's the Lord going to come back? In a spaceship. Nope. How's the Lord going to come back? He's going to come back in my heart, and I can just feel him because I believe in him and I love him. Nope. That might give you a warm, fuzzy feeling to say that and think that, but that's not real. How's he coming back? He's going to come back again as a baby one more time. Nope, he's not coming back that way. In like manner, how did he leave? Let's answer that question. He just left the earth, went up into the clouds, and the clouds covered him. Now, let me ask you, if the angel said the sign of his return is the same way, what's it going to look like when he comes back? He's going to come back in the clouds. Not riding a cloud. The sky will be rolled back like a scroll, is the hymn writer Horatio Spafford said. And the Lord shall descend. He's coming back visibly. He's coming back physically. He's coming back for real. And if you look up in there, you will see his return. It's not going to be some mystical spiritual thing that some people see and others don't. When God sets his foot back physically on the earth again, this whole world will know it. The angels, guess what? They're going to be involved at his return. When he returns with his holy angels. The message has been this. He is here. He is gone. He's coming again. And the sign is he's going to come back physically. If you've got somebody that's teaching you that Jesus is not really physically going to come back, run away from that phony. Run away from that guy who does not believe that his God is physically, literally coming back like he said he would, like the angels said he would. You're listening to the teachings of a man who does not line up with the teachings of heaven. If you're listening to someone who believes Jesus has already came back, run away from that person. Get away from that. He hasn't already came back. There's not been one instance in history of anybody coming back through the clouds like Jesus left. Now, the men of Galilee saw this. The angels rebuked them and said, "What are you still doing here? He's coming back." And they said, "Boy, we better not tell anybody about this. Let's just let this be our little secret. Let's go down to Waco, Texas and start us a compound. Huh? Let's go start an eclectic group of rabbis up in the mountains. Let's all be monks and just be hush-hush about what we saw. No, before he left, he said, y'all got a job to do, and your job's to go and share all around the world what you've seen of me. And when he left, they stood there looking, thinking, well, I wonder if he's coming back. And the angel said, what are you doing here? Look at verse 12. And they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. He told them to stay in Jerusalem, because he said, not many days from now, 10 to be exact, he was on the earth 40 days after his resurrection. So 10 days from now, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to preach to people from all over the world. And those people are going to go back to their individual parts of the world. And before the next 100 years, before the close of this own century, this good news message that the angels announced in Luke chapter 2 is going to cover all of the known world at that time. It's going to span all of the continents outside of the Americas. Everybody's going to know the gospel within 100 years of Jesus saying so. The spread began in verse 12, and it can be tracked to the end of the epistles. Read all 28 chapters of Acts. You will see the gospel is already wrapped around the Mediterranean. Read world history. You will find the gospel is already in what we know today is England within 100 years of Christ's death. We will find evidence of Christianity all throughout the Scandinavian countries in the first century. All across what we know today is Russia. There was gospel there. All down through Africa, the gospel spread there. These apostles who got this message, who heard these angels on high, they went and told that message everywhere they went. And they paid for it with their lives. The government of their day said, all you got to do is quit talking about Jesus Christ and you'll live. And they said, oh, I can't quit talking about Jesus Christ. I think about Ignatius, the early church father. He was arrested in Rome and they were going to light him on fire. He was an old man, and the Caesar looked at him. He said, hey, you're an old man. I don't want to burn an old man at the stake. He said, all you got to do is just quit preaching on the name of Jesus Christ and I won't burn you at the stake. And he said, 86 years have I served him, and I'm not going to stop today. That translates into modern English as get a match. Why would an old man say, burn me alive because I believe in Jesus Christ? Because he heard the heavenly message, and it could not be denied, and he would not be denied. And it was the most important thing that he could do was to spread this good news to the world, even if the world didn't want to hear it. Even if the world didn't know they needed it, he died declaring it. Look up all the apostles. John's the only one you find dying in old age. And they boiled him alive. He just wouldn't boil in oil. They imprisoned him and put him on an isle of Patmos and locked him away out in the middle of nowhere. And God comes to him and gives him the entire book of Revelation for his trouble. Every one of these men died cruel deaths, endured all kinds of shameful treatment. Why? Because they heard and believed the message that was testified by angels. The question that you're going to have to answer before we leave today is this. Have you heard the news that he came? It's Christmas time. You hear Christmas carols everywhere you go. Well, you don't anymore because you shop online. But remember back when you used to really go shopping? Remember they used to play Christmas carols? Old little town of Bethlehem. You knew all about it. You didn't have to crack your Bible open to know he came. Have you heard that he arose? The angels testified that he's not here. He's here. He's gone. Have you heard that Jesus arose from the grave? Have you heard that since his life had no sin, since he had committed no sin but became sin for us, he could bear our sins on the cross, but death could not handle him because he entered into the Holy of Holies with his own blood and made atonement for our sins. Have you heard that? Have you heard he's coming again? Have you heard that Jesus is coming back? You ever hear Christians talk about that? He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming again. Christians are prone to say this: I wish he'd just come right now. That's awful selfish of you. Because things ain't perfectly right in your world. You want Christ to come back and these people who don't know him to instantly enter hell because you're not having a bad day? Because the election didn't go your way? You ought to go home today and turn off the TV and get down on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry that I wanted you to return for your people a day early because I had a bad week or didn't get my way. Forgive me. But the fact remains, you've heard that he's coming again. So let me ask you this. You can agree with me. You heard he came. You heard he arose. You heard he's coming again. In all three instances, these people that heard this and believed it spread the message. They didn't just go to church and sing it. They went to work and told it. They went over to their neighbor's house and told it. They bumped into strangers and told it. They encountered people at the grocery store and pulled their mask up over their face and stayed 8 foot away and told it. There's a reason why the world does not want us to get together, because Christians have a message to share with other people. There's a reason why the world does not want churches to meet corporately, because we have a message we're supposed to learn and share with other people. The real question is this: how are you personally spreading this angelic message? Like the shepherds? Like the ladies at the tomb, or like the men of Galilee? Take your pick. How are you spreading this message? I went to church. That's not what I asked. It didn't spread nothing here. How are you spreading this message? You see, every witness that we've looked at that heard the angels on high, whether it was the angels at the tomb, whether it was the angels on top of the Mount of Olives, whether it was the angels in those fields outside of Bethlehem, everybody that got that information and believed it went and told it 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 and told it. Yet when I look at Christianity today, we don't tell it. We don't tell it. Well, preacher, that's what we're paying you to do. Nope. If you've heard this message, you've got the responsibility of telling it. Doesn't matter if you're a shepherd. Doesn't matter if you're a woman carrying barrel spices. Doesn't matter if you're people hearing the last earthly message of Jesus. You have the responsibility of sharing this message. Can you imagine those shepherds staying in the field that night? Getting woke up by angels. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Go back to bed. That was weird. Everybody rolling over and pull their blanket up over them. Sleep back on their rock. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those ladies at the tomb? Well, we wasted a lot of money on spices we don't need. Did y'all keep your receipts? Will they take spices back? Is anybody about to die? Should we keep these for a while? Because this was a wasted trip to the graveyard. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the men of Galilee watching Jesus go off into the clouds and the angels showing up and saying, he's coming back. Now go do what he told you. No. No, we'll just go back to fishing. We'll just go fish. Didn't sign up for this. It's as equally ludicrous for you to profess faith in Jesus Christ and these three events that I've shared with you and say, I believe that, and not spend any of your living days sharing that message with the people around you. Look, if that's good news, those that you love most need to hear it the most. Are you the kind of Christian that just feeds your kids chicken strips? I know they need to hear the gospel. I know I've told them in the past, but they really just want chicken strips, so I'm not going to argue anymore, and they're just going to grow up on chicken strips. No. If you've heard the angels on high, you've got a responsibility to share this message, not just with those you love the most, but with everybody you encounter and every time you have the opportunity. And if you're not having the opportunity, there's something wrong with what you've heard and what you believe, because they don't line up. This is our responsibility. We have to take the message that was echoed by these angels. Jesus Christ came, He rose from the grave, and He's coming back. You take those three aspects and you share them. Well, Brother Harold, nobody wants to hear that today. Nobody wanted to hear it in that day. Nobody wants to hear it today. Nobody wanted to hear it yesterday. And hey, look, if we live a little longer, nobody's going to want to hear it tomorrow. But you're going to have some sound nutrition if you're going to grow up and be the person you're designed to be. You've got to give them what they need and not what they want. They may hate you for it. They may despise you for it. They may say, oh, here comes that Christian. Let's get out of here. He's going to start talking about Jesus again. But that's the only way any of these people are going to find the Prince of Peace, the tidings of joy, the good news to all people, is if you and I take the message and give it to them. I'll let you decide how you want to do that. But if you've heard the message, you have the responsibility, and you're an oddball and biblically unfounded, if you say, oh yeah, yeah, I've got it, but I'm not talking about it, something's not right there. I'll let you determine where you stand with God. I'll let you determine at how well you've done in sharing this message, and I'll encourage you to do this. If that's what you believe, and that's what you've staked your faith on, I'm going to die and trust this message that when I'm dead, I'm going to heaven based upon this message, then you should have no fear telling that to someone else who's dying without it and not going to receive what you're getting. It's Christmas time. He came. It's Easter time. He's gone. And at a time none of us know, He's coming back. If you believe that, share it. Let's stand.